CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 24 hours after the report showing inflation rising, President Trump signed an order imposing the same amount of tariff on imported goods that the countries shipping them impose on U.S. imports.
Move that could upend global trade and threatens to spike inflation here at home. But economists warn higher tariffs on imports are paid by American companies who pass the costs along to consumers in the form of higher prices. The president acknowledging prices could go up in the short term. The president adamant his new policies will leave America flooded with jobs.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Texas gave a lethal injection to condemn double murderer Richard Lee Tabler, who shot and killed the manager of his strip club and another man in 2004. Second execution in Texas in a little more than a week. Study published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows bird flu has quietly spread from animals to some veterinarians. This is ABC News. The White House says 75,000 federal workers accepted its buyout offer. There are still a lot of unknowns, though.
It's really unclear if there's appropriated funding for this buyout because, of course, the government runs out of money in March and Donald Trump does not have appropriations authority. And there's a lot of wiggle room and confusion around the terms of this email and whether responding yes actually is some kind of a binding contract that would protect these workers.
ABC News legal contributor Kim Whaley. Update on 2024 YR, the recently discovered new near-Earth asteroid with what astronomers calculate as a 1% chance of hitting Earth in 2032. They've been fine-tuning the calculations, and the risk is now up to 2%. That chance will certainly increase and decrease as the space rock's orbit around the sun is better charted. Astronomers say there's a good chance the risk will likely drop to zero. Earthbound and orbital telescopes keeping watch. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Freezing your credit sounds drastic, but it's not. In fact, freezing your credit is one of the best ways you can protect yourself from identity theft. Freezing your credit doesn't stop your credit score from going up or down. It's just a way to make sure that nobody can open an account in your name, not even you, without removing your freeze first. So to freeze your credit, you just contact each of the three major credit bureaus and you request a credit freeze. To search up the term credit freeze, and you'll find the phone numbers and websites where you can get it all done. And don't worry, you can always unfreeze your credit when you need to apply for new credit, like a loan or something, by contacting each bureau again. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org or text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bucks head into the All-Star break with a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks win a close one in Minnesota, 103-101 against the Timberwolves. Damian Lillard was out with a hamstring. Giannis still out with a calf muscle injury. And so that left center Brook Lopez and several new players to battle for the win.
You know, we had a nice mix out there. So it's great to just see everyone feel each other out, you know, get a good sense of who we are. But, you know, when it boiled down to it, we just had each other's back. We were communicating, we were making the right plays, we were playing with energy, and it was just a great win to have going forward.
Baseball, the Brewers signed Rays left-hander Tyler Alexander to a one-year deal. NFL, the Packers went into this season without a true number one receiver. So how did that work out? Jordan Love.
There's definitely, I think, areas that we need to focus on and improve on to get better, kind of get over the hump that we hit this year, and just get more consistent, focus on the details.
That's the Packers' Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Forever bros Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are coming under fire from Kansas City Chiefs fans for having a double date with their best girls, Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes, fairly certain it was in that order, just 24 hours before the Super Bowl. What? Word on the street is that Taylor Swift ordered a huge Kobe burger and French fries, and according to Chiefs fans on social media, that could be exactly why the Chiefs laid an egg in front of a worldwide audience while trying to three-peat. No idea what Kelce and Mahomes had to eat, but after seeing the way they played during the big game, I'm guessing it had lots of tryptophan. Irate Chiefs fans, most of whom I'm guessing probably never played in a Super Bowl, disapproved of the double date, insinuating that said date and hanging with girls so close to the big game was obviously the reason the Chiefs lost. If only Kansas City sports fans provided the two football players with this information beforehand. It just seems like a no-brainer to me. You can't eat 2 days before the big game. There's nothing funnier than irrational sports fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, cold, a low of 0 to 5 below. For tomorrow, a cloudy sky with snow showers developing in the afternoon and continuing into Saturday afternoon. Accumulations of 2 to 4 inches. Winter weather advisories in effect. Right now it's 7.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory, Alf Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Wow, we are really, this is going to be a jam-packed show here, and we're really excited to have Willard on again, and really good to see you, Willard. Do you want to introduce yourself? And we got a lot to talk about, and we have Anna on the next segment, too, talking about the march tomorrow, but it's great to see you again. It's great to see all your work that you've been doing. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Hamatakiapi, Willard Mailbear Jr., enrolled in Standing Rock. I'm the owner of Iktomi Tattoo over here in South Minneapolis, currently sitting in my home. I was going to try to shoot this over at my art center and tattoo shop, but it is packed right now. So luckily, I live four houses away, so I just walked with my laptop over here. So please excuse if my big black cat jumps in the way. He will probably make an attempt here pretty soon.
Well, we love that. We were on 9 years now, and we've had a cat that my wife talks about the sacred animal section of our show, the cat always shows up. So we're used to our relatives with tails and hooves and whatnot. So we're all good with that. Willard, welcome.
Yeah, nice to be back. I feel like it's been almost a year, probably a year around this time.
Well, let's talk about what's happening, because there's some exciting things happening that you're involved with that's coming up really soon in March, and let's get right to it.
Yeah, so March 14th, 15th, and 16th at the Intercontinental Hotel, me along with my tattoo shop will be hosting a Indigenous Culture Festival, which will be featuring tattooing, music performances. We're trying to squeeze in some cultural performances, and we have a phone call today with someone. We're trying to do a moccasin game, and there's some immersive art rooms. We have around 40 vendors lined up, so we'll have, you know, just a nice indigenous atmosphere for everyone to come support Indigenous economy and Indigenous talent. And it's really just trying to be a festival, you know, something where all of our non-Indigenous relatives and the Indigenous community can come in and experience something, you know, either get a tattoo, learn about Indigenous tattooing. If you're non-Indigenous, learn more about, you know, certain aspect of culture and just, you know, participate and support Indigenous economy in the Twin Cities and sort of the surrounding areas. We have tattoo artists coming from Canada, California, over on the East Coast. And we have, if you're aware, Superman's coming through, which I'm super stoked about. And Stella Standing Bear. We got some local talent from like Joe Rainey. Let's see, Thomas X, Jada Brown, which I'm pretty excited about. Jada comes to the Art Center quite often. So I've seen her perform in the Art Center a couple of times and definitely stoked to have her. And Sean, Sean Trashier is the homie. I think it's going to be a cool show. And we have, we just locked in Rob Fairbanks, the comedian. Hopefully he's going to come and do some sort of performance in there. Yeah.
It's gonna be a cool thing. That's exciting. That's really exciting. We've had Superman on over the years, and he is got a great national following. And of course, Haley and I really love downtown Jada Brown, as she likes to be called, right, Haley?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We love Jada.
Yeah, and so let's back up a second, too, because we got a couple of segments. Let's talk a little bit about you and what you got going on. As a Lakota artist, you have your tattoo shop, and you have a community art area in the back. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Iktomi Tattoo, it's been open for, let's see, a little over a year. It wouldn't be this most recent September, but the September before that, we started tattooing in that space. It's been under construction for probably almost 2 years now. It took us a while to open up the tattoo shop. Attached to the tattoo shop, though, is nonprofit that I'm the executive chairman of called Art Shelf. Basically, it's a free community art center. We take in creative material donations, and we have a bunch of art materials in the space for people to come and use for free. And it's kind of just resident. It stays in the space, but we also give out free canvases. We give out free like illustration paper, things to draw on. So that way people can come in and just make art with no costs.
So like tonight you were saying that the place is packed. Tell us a little bit about that. What's going on there?
So we have like a set of usuals, I'd say, that, you know, typically about 3 p.m. people start strolling in and setting up their little creative stations. It is all volunteer organized over in the Art Center. So, you know, this is around the time when the volunteers shift out. We're open noon to 8 every day in the Art Center. So, you know, I would say maybe 2 or 3 people are in there around noon and stick around. And then about this time of the day, usually like kids get out of school or people get off work and they start kind of flowing in to start making art. And the tattoo shop's usually busy randomly. I would say it's been a while since we've all tattooed at the same time, but even if there's 5 of us in there tattooing, well, there's 9 of us total, right? So just imagine how crazy that can be when there's 9 of us. But when there's 5 of us in there, it feels pretty crazy. But every once in a while, we'll all be in there and it's just like mayhem.
Let's tell everybody where that's located so it can be double mayhem.
Yeah, it's over in South Minneapolis in Uptown. Depending on how you look at it, it's either the beginning or the end of Hennepin, right? So it's on 35th in Hennepin South, which is like a block in from the cemetery over here. I like to think it's the beginning of Hennepin because eventually it turns into Larpenteur. So, we're just over here in South.
That's cool. And we see
the Art Center. Yeah, the Art Center is literally connected. They're There's two separate entrances, but they're connected on the inside.
Wow, that's really cool. And we see a friend of ours, Angela Vig, said she loves her tattoo, and it's a great tattoo shop. And we love you too, Angela. Good to see you and always listen in. And Big Guitars on Snelling Avenue. I just want to give her a big shout out, and native-owned guitar shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so tell us a little more. We got only about a minute left in this segment, and we want to dig deep again back and talk about what's happening on March 14th and the 16th. And, you know, a little bit about your story, too, because I know you have a really, I don't want to say unique story, but a powerful story when it comes to where you're from and where you're at and where you've come from. And we'd love to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm currently 7 years sober. You know, about 5 years ago, I was released from incarceration, and, you know, having made a real commitment to sobriety and to remain crime free, it's been quite the journey to build a life from, you know, pretty much nothing. I got out of prison with maybe like $100 and a pedal bike, and just stayed true to that commitment and stayed true to that bond with Creator to pursue culture and family. And I feel like it's just one thing after another is built up from there.
Hey, we're here with Willard Mailbear Jr., Lakota, and founder of Art Shelf, and we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. Thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. That's mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, wow, we have a great show going on here. We have our friend and great friend here, and what a doer, Willard Mailbear Jr., and he's Lakota, and he's founder of Art Shelf, and we're talking about this big event, too. We were just catching the end of your story and how powerful that is, and I just want to commend you, too, that I'm in recovery, too, and I know it's not an easy thing, and I want to just say a big congratulations, and you're showing what sobriety can do and good things in our community. So, Willard Mailbear Jr., I just want to say a big peenie gigi and a big shout-out to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think maybe it was the summer powwow in Shakopee when your relatives told me that you were, had a huge celebration on some sobriety time. It was a big number, if I remember right. So, that's not easy to do. So congratulations to you, too.
Thank you. 40 years in November. Of course, I was 5 years old when I sobered up. Oh, no, I was I was 23 years old. So, yeah, I appreciate it saving my life.
All right.
still really involved in recovery. So it's you got to give it away to keep it. And that's what you're doing, Willard.
Yeah. What would be cool is to have you come to our art center. Every Friday night at Art Shelf, we have a speaker in recovery. Typically, we like to have them be artists. Pretty sure you would qualify as an artist. Would love to have you come and we do like a 15-minute sort of share with a group of artists in recovery, and you just kind of share your story, and it's a question and answer format. It's a pretty cool meeting. Just come check it out one of these weeks.
Yeah, definitely. What time is it?
It goes from the pizzas get there at 7 o'clock. It's sponsored by Pizza Luce. So we get free pizzas. Pizzas are there at 7. People set up their little painting sessions around that time. And then the speaker starts at 7:30. And usually I do the introduction. So I'll talk about creativity and wellness and sobriety. And then the speaker usually starts at about 7:40.
Yeah, well, I definitely will come, and I appreciate that. You know, there's questions that we have, too, here. Like, you know, owning a tattoo shop and being an artist, what led you to the idea of the festival?
So, I feel like being a tattooer and someone that, you know, I love music, I love performance. And I mean, I go to festivals and I go to tattoo conventions. This last year went down to an indigenous tattoo convention down in Albuquerque. And, you know, at that time we were already organizing some like smaller music events through the nonprofit. And it was just kind of like, you know, what would be cool when we were down there, we're like thinking out loud, like it'd be cool to do something like this up in the Twin Cities, and just kind of just came together. And, we hit up some, vendors and just some other people in community and kind of brainstormed and was just like, yeah, let's go for it. And we just, reached out to some locations to kind of see, what resources were out there and venues that would be available. And it just kind of came together with, the Mille Lacs Corporate Venture and the Intercontinental Hotel in St. Paul. So, it was just kind of all came together.
That's right on. You're a doer. And in the name of the festival, what does it mean?
Akito is it's a contemporary Dakota word for tattoo. There's a couple variations of it, but the way it was originally taught to me was it's Akito, sort of like a two like word, but into one word sort of sounding. But it's where it came from. We were going to call it the Teoshpae festival, but it just kind of came together to be Akito. To be honest, we tried to put a lot of thought into it, but the way a lot of this festival came together was like first thought was just great. And then, we would kind of be like, should we actually call it the Akito festival? And then we were like, threw around some other ideas and we just kind of stuck with it. I think it works great.
Wow, that's very cool. There was somebody, one of our longtime listeners just asked if I had a tattoo. Yes, I have a huge tattoo in my on my back, but now that I'm 64, I never take my shirt off, so I probably need some ink on my arms. Oh, but I got a big old tattoo in my back, but no one will see it now because Bobby P's pretty flabby, Haley.
Oh, well, you talked about getting some ink on your arms, and that's what I plan to do that Sunday at the festival. I'll be getting tattooed by Shannon Joyce.
Cool. Hey. Yeah. I need an applique around my wrist. That's what I need. So I always have an applique on. But yeah, so let's remind everyone, because we, Willard, we have an audience from all over the country here. Let's remind everyone the dates and where it's at and how they can find out more information.
Yeah, so it's March 14th, 15th, and 16th, so like a month away. and it's in downtown St. Paul at the Intercontinental Hotel. You can find out more information at AquitoFestival.com. Or if you check out our Instagram, it's just I think it's just Minnesota Aquito Festival. But yeah, check us out. Give us a follow. We'll be giving away some weekend passes here as we get closer to the date. I know Superman's going to be doing a giveaway for weekend passes. And Gwaden, which is one of our like ambassadors for the event, will also be giving away some weekend passes. And if you follow our Instagram page, we'll be giving some weekend passes away as well. And a reminder, ages 4 and under are free, and 60 and over are also free all weekend. And we have some cool sponsors out there, the Minnesota Fund, Native Care. Let's see, we just got a newer sponsor. I think it's like the Sweetest Grass from Cass Lake. And EMI Audio. I swear there's another one I'm totally spacing, and I'll probably end up getting in trouble for it. But Good Judy Tattoo Supply Company.
Oh,
yeah. We have some great sponsors, but we are looking for more sponsorships. If anyone is interested in that, feel free to reach out to us through the website. We also have some more room for vendors if anyone's interested in joining the vending market. And if anyone has any like cool art projects that they want to present at the festival, just hit us up. We're looking for all levels of collaboration.
What's really cool, it's open to everyone. And I want to remind with your help, Willard, about our relatives that are white allies out there that come to these things and support this. Anything that's for sale, you can wear. In other words, you know, if there's earrings, don't worry about that. You know, I think, so let's talk a little bit about that, because I think sometimes our white allies out there that listen to the show are a little timid to come to powwows and come to these things. Let's talk a little bit about, this is for them too, to support us.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I try to, you know, cause I have, you know, some non-Indigenous, I consider family, that tattoo with me at the shop. Right. And, you know, they are my family. And I always think back on like the way Sitting Bull talked about, you know, when colonizers were coming in, he was always like, you know, I wonder why our white brothers and sisters are doing this to us, you know? And I like to think of like, even people that are against me are still my relatives. You know what I mean? And I just want people to know throughout our entire community, whether they're friends, allies, or against us, I consider everyone a relative. And to just make sure that like anyone that, you know, comes in a good way is my relative and is a relative of the community and is always welcome to come and support and learn. You know, and I think that's why we wanted to make sure that everyone understands that all relatives are welcome to come and support Indigenous economy and Indigenous talent.
Awesome. Yeah. And exactly. And that's a great way, to be talking and to our relatives all over. So I just want to, before we get going here, we're only got a minute or so left. I want you to, give a shout out to the other artists that are at your shop and how they can get, people that are interested in getting a tattoo, how they get a hold of them and who they are.
Yeah. You know, so at the tattoo shop, Deanna Johnson is super talented. She's from Cass Lake. You know, they're like Haley said, there's Shannon Joyce, Coleman Stevens. We got, Donnie Chapman, one of my apprentices, Henry, Gary. I feel like Gary is like the uncle of the shop, just has all the experience and is just probably the most handsome person at the shop and just is such a blessing. I swear. If anyone knows who I'm talking about, they could contest to just how awesome Gary is. You know, and we got, you know, everyone is on the website. Feel free to just, you know, look us up, at iktomitattoo.com. I feel like I'm forgetting. Oh, and one of our newest artist is Alex. He's from Ukraine. He's super, super talented artist too. And just kind of immigrated here.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 24 hours after the report showing inflation rising, President Trump signed an order imposing the same amount of tariff on imported goods that the countries shipping them impose on U.S. imports.
Move that could upend global trade and threatens to spike inflation here at home. But economists warn higher tariffs on imports are paid by American companies who pass the costs along to consumers in the form of higher prices. The president acknowledging prices could go up in the short term. The president adamant his new policies will leave America flooded with jobs.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Texas gave a lethal injection to condemned double murderer Richard Lee Tabler, who shot and killed the manager of his strip club and another man in 2004. Second execution in Texas in a little more than a week. Study published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows bird flu has quietly spread from animals to some veterinarians. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks head into the All-Star break with a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks win a close one in Minnesota, 103-101 against the Timberwolves. Damian Lillard was out with a hamstring. Giannis still out with a calf muscle injury. And so that left center Brooke Lopez and several new players to battle for the win.
You know, we had a nice mix out there. So great to just see everyone feel each other out, you know, get a good sense of who we are. But, you know, when it boiled down to it, we just had each other's back. We were communicating, we were making the right plays, we were playing with energy, and it was just a great win to have going forward.
Baseball, the Brewers signed Rays left-hander Tyler Alexander to a one-year deal. NFL, the Packers went into this season without a true number one receiver. So how did that work out? Jordan Love.
There's definitely, I think, areas that we need to focus on and improve on to get better, kind of get over the hump that we hit this year, and just get more consistent, focus on the details.
That's the Packers' Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Everybody has their favorite Saturday Night Live sketches from the past 50 years. If you're older, you might think Landshark, The Bass-O-Matic, or Bill Murray's Lounge Singer might be at the top of the list, but that's not the case. A new list from TheWrap.com lists the 10 funniest Saturday Night Live sketches, and the oldest one is from 29 years ago. It's important to note The Wrap's list only uses sketches from Saturday Night Live's YouTube page. Football fans hate the Kardashians. Those are the words of Kardashian leader Kim, who was referring to Tom Brady's roast last year at which she was mercilessly booed. The boos were so thunderous, Netflix edited most of them out. Kardashian still claims she had nothing to do with that. On an episode of The Kardashians earlier this week, the former Mrs. Kanye West said she would never do a roast again because they are not good for the soul, adding that she never imagined that she would get booed. She obviously never watches her own TV show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, cold, a low of 0 to 5 below. For tomorrow, a cloudy sky with snow showers developing in the afternoon and continuing into Saturday afternoon. Accumulations of 2 to 4 inches. Winter weather advisories in effect. Currently, it's 4.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Monday, we'll be back live. We check in with our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K. Plus, fallout from the resignations at the SDNY over dropping charges against Mayor Eric Adams. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are really, really happy to have Anna Negrete back on, interim director of the Minnesota State MMIR office here, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. Welcome, and you must be really busy here. We got a day left before the big activity tomorrow. Welcome again for being on.
Yeah, thank you. I have been at the Indian Center all morning. We had a walkthrough as we try and get organized, and got to be in community and pray with some of the relatives today. So that was very much needed and excited for tomorrow. So here we are. I'm in the cafeteria somewhere.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're really excited. A lot of things happened to get, like you said, the walkthrough, but a lot of things happened to get to this point. And I know Rory Wakeham up had the silk screening activity that he's had for quite a few years. And so that must have been exciting too.
Yeah, it was super well attended. I know Bandanas alone, I think we had like 750. Boston Scientific donated 250 bandanas to the efforts. We're coming out to volunteer tomorrow as well. And then we brought some community, came and showed up with shirts and all kinds of stuff. So Rory was on the move. I think Rory commented that it was like the busiest he has ever seen it since it's been going on. So that's great. I'm glad people are coming.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I feel like, you know, the last couple of years since COVID, it's been kind of revving up to it. And now we're all on all eight cylinders.
Yeah, I'm super excited and hope that, you know, families are feeling supported in new ways. I know, like, during COVID, we all felt isolated, and I can't imagine even more so our MMIR impacted families. And so it'll be good to be in community with everybody and just really show up and support them.
You know, I know in the past years we've had groups all the way from Chicago show up and speak their truth. What do we have? Have you heard any word on who's all coming from outstate?
I think some folks are coming back up from Chicago. Word on the street is I know relatives from North and South Dakota are headed this way. So I'm excited. And then, of course, Senator Kunesh will be joining us. And so it's always good to see her and be there. Man, there's so many people have had a hand in planning. We were on it this year. We started planning in November. Big shout out to Naida Medicine Crow, who has been working nonstop to get these meetings scheduled and for everything to go smoothly. So it's amazing to see so many people come together. And that's what we really want to see this time around. There's been so much divisiveness that we hear about in other media, and we don't want that to trickle into how we show up for each other. So there'll be a good show of solidarity. Can't wait to see the Sea of Red coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And maybe we can mention a few of the sponsors. I know Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, Minneapolis American Indian Center, American Indian Health Board, MMIR State Office, Native American Community Development Institute, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, Wake 'em Up Productions, Little Earth Protectors, and Gatherings Cafe, and Metro Transit. Is there anybody else I've missed?
A few, you know, community folks too. I mean, we've had MDH, the Minnesota Department of Health, is sending out volunteers, and you know, we have sponsors, but we also have volunteers that can come in from new place. Like, I never thought to reach out to Boston Scientific. They have some Indigenous folks over there who reached out and were like, we want to be a part. I'm like, great. So that's very cool. Also some other churches that like are stepped up and were like, how can we help? We'll be here to help serve food. And so big shout out to just community for stepping up and helping. And of course, those that are going to be coming out to make sure that relatives are safe. We're happy to have that extra.
Well, I get all excited to talk to you, but let's back up a little bit here. It's going to start at 11, so I'm going to get there early so I can get my secret parking place close to the Indian Center. And so maybe we can talk a little bit about the between 11 and 2, what's going to be happening.
Yep, we'll start off, you know, start it off in a good way with a prayer, and then we have a host of speakers that are coming out, specifically some impacted families that will be coming into town and talking about their experience. Really, again, the message has been making sure that everyone is knowing like that these are your relatives that are missing too. This isn't just somebody else's son or somebody else's daughter. These are our relatives, and we want them back. We want justice, and so having families come is super important. And then we're gonna go out on the march together as a community and come back and eat. So that will be a good way to round it off and just come back and share some space with each other.
Well, I know some of the speakers in the past talk about their family decades ago or family member decades ago, and that just hits me, you know, hard. All the stories do for sure, but just to realize that these relatives have had no answers about their missing relative.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. I mean, you know, like I mentioned, I think last time I was on, the oldest case within our office is 43 years old, and I can't imagine, you know, and it's folks that are remaining in their family are getting up there in age as well. And so, you know, just waiting for those answers is hard. So we'll, you know, we're trying to do our best. I know this year, something different. We're going to be also acknowledging the Dakota 38 that were hung plus two that were hung in Mankato. And so just again, saying their names, trying to be, you know, remember, I think we have like last time I heard 163 names of missing and murdered in Minnesota that we're going to be acknowledging, and also asking community too. If your relative's not on this list or you didn't hear them, please let us know so we can do better. There's no central data tracking point. We talked about data gaps in the past. So we want to acknowledge folks. So if you all have relatives that we don't mention, please come find me. I'm available. We're going to have a sheet too to add people's names as well. Cause I don't know a family who hasn't been impacted or who doesn't have a relative who has been impacted. And so we have to keep it moving. And this is just one of the ways that we're trying to raise that awareness.
Yeah. I mean, one of the first people that maybe were famous about missing at one time was Anna May, and that a documentary just came out, and how things were and how they kind of remain the same is the secrets and the hidden things and you know, and things that happen to us natives as almost second or third class people. So the amplifying this is just a great thing. I saw on one of the local stations, there was a piece about the making of the silk screening. And so getting the word out there is just our job and everybody's job.
Yeah, I was watching the same documentary on anime and the culture of silence, right? We talk about that when we, you know, folks ask us who maybe are not within our community, what does the red handprint mean? And what does that silencing mean? And it's, you know, just it is the secrets that we keep that keep our communities unhealed, and things that we don't talk about or that we were socialized not to talk about. We don't talk about what happens within the home and violence and some of those secrets, code of the streets type stuff that leave families without answers. And so it's good to, again, you know, I'm hoping that hearing from the families directly inspires, you know, people to come forward and take that step they need to provide information if they know it. I know it's hard. I can imagine it's hard. But I also hear and bear witness to the family's pain every day that passes, every birthday, every holiday that passes without answers is
Yeah, it's interesting too, the code of silence that comes with trauma. And, you know, we talk about the boarding schools and, you know, there was another documentary that came out just recently, Sugarcane, and how those people, those relatives hadn't talked to about this for 40, 50 years of experience.
We talk about those root causes of MMIR, and that's what, you know, we say, we list as, you know, some of that historical trauma and how do we, move to the next step? And that first place starts with our own healing and starting to acknowledge some of those things. And so, and to even within ourselves, take the time to do some self-care, to seek therapy, to turn to our cultural ways of healing and back to ceremonies and using our medicines and doing that when we're faced with these difficult heaviness of heart.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're here with Anna Negrete, interim director of the Minnesota State MMIR Office, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And we got like a minute here. There's a bunch of questions I want to talk to you about. But one of them I just want to bring up, I think it was you or in our last interview where I heard that State Senator Mary Kunish. I don't know where I heard it, but that the plates were the second most bought plates and brought in $60,000+. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're the third most popular. We've outsold the Minnesota Twins and the Minnesota Wild. no dig to the teams, but I'm happy that we're doing that. And it's actually brought more than $90,000, a little bit over $90,000 that will help with support. It goes back to the office to provide eventually we're announcing rewards and then other supports for search and other projects. So super thankful that Senator put that together, and not just Senator, but other folks that made sure that happened. So.
Yeah, that's huge. And, you know, I remember her talking about the plates on our show, and I remember getting a sample plate last year. I was crying enough to where Anna gave me one. And, now I got a real one on my car. I appreciate you, Anna. Hey, we're with Anna Negrete, and we are going to be talking a little bit more about tomorrow and what people should bring and what people should expect. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Native history in Minnesota is diverse and rich. Indigenous people have dwelled here for thousands of years and continue to live here today. Our home, Native Minnesota, at the Minnesota History Center, shares the history and contemporary stories of the region's Native peoples. Now on display, the mask designed by Miwokan Dakota artist Cole Redhorse Taylor and worn by Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. Visit the Minnesota History Center to hear stories of resilience, adaptation, and survival.
A home that needs new everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Ah! 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 Ah!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with Anna Negrete, interim director of the Minnesota State MMIR office, a Minnesota Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And we are talking about the march tomorrow. And let's get to the brass tacks right now. How did this start? And like, what do people need to bring? And where is this? Because we have people from all over the country listening to us.
Yeah, so initially this started with shout out to Native Lives Matter and Renan Goodrich started it 10 years ago. She since moved up to Duluth, and I know that there's events happening in Duluth and Bemidji as well. The one here in the cities is at the Minneapolis American Indian Center on Franklin Avenue. Folks will start coming about 10:30. I think doors open up. Speakers will be at 11. We'll head out the door for the march around noon, and oh, it says 12:05, but we'll start marching when we're done talking, so and then come back and eat. And so we're happy to be in community with people, and you know, big shout out to everybody who has made this happen. In the last segment we talked about different sponsors, and so many people are behind the scenes folks. Took a lot of magic to pull it together. And so hopefully community comes.
Yeah. And what should people wear? I know during the commercial break, Haley and I figured out what we're going to wear. But what should everyone wear?
Yeah. Because they're going to be twinning tomorrow. So wear red. Red is the color of the day for tomorrow. And so we encourage people to wear red tomorrow. Rock your favorite ribbon skirt if you got them. And, just hope to see you decked out in red. Dress warm and layers. You know, it's going to be cold out. I think the forecast is about 20, 24 degrees last time I heard. That's not including wind chill. And I don't know what the wind chill is, but it's going to be cold out. So dress in layers. What else should I tell you about tomorrow?
Bring
banners, bring posters. Of relatives. There's going to be a silhouette display, some red dresses that community can have the opportunity to write missing or murdered relatives on these silhouettes. There'll be some VIP seating for elders in the front. So if you see those blocked out, those are for the elders, and we'll give the elders some extra time to get out before the mad rush as we go to march. So clear the way so the elders can make their way through the door before we head out as a community.
I'm a baby elder, so do I get the second
a young
row
elder, right?
60, yeah. 64 years old, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll like that. I think that's what we'll have to do. We'll have to like be like, if you're 90, you get front row, 80, you know, we'll have to break it back. So you might be back a few rows.
Oh, it might be more than one row. Yeah. All right. Just so I can get Haley to get me my dinner.
Yeah. I'll be up there for you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She's going to get you just vegetables.
Just all the stuff you don't like.
Yeah, I like stuff. Everything.
Yeah.
I like everything. Oh. well, I appreciate that. That's really cool. So wear red, bring banners, posters, drums,
pictures.
And
red. Yep, pictures of your relatives. Again, in the grandparents' room, we'll have like a list of names streaming of impacted, I think 160 some names of relatives that have been murdered or missing here in Minnesota. So just acknowledging them again, we can add to that list. We don't mean to offend by leaving anybody out. There's just not a good data source. And so we're trying to do better and start that. So I'm ready for somebody to say, you forgot our relative's name, and mm-hmm. we'll get that added.
Yeah. I remember last year, I think it was after you guys listed the names, someone said to shout out the names if you have a relative that wasn't listed. And there was a bunch of people that, you know, went on for what it seemed like a very long time of people in the crowd shouting out relatives.
That's super powerful, Haley. I remember that too.
Yeah,
that is something that like is left an impression on my soul for real.
I think that was the first time that I really kind of spoke, you know, as a part of the office, and to read those names and getting choked up halfway through. And then even the like community, what I remember about that is community shouting out encouragement, and then also like list, you know, telling their, saying their relatives' names. That was very powerful and something that stuck with me. So I was like, I want to do that again, because I don't, you know, there's power in saying their names, and we say that, say their names. We remember you. We acknowledge you. So looking forward to that piece.
You know, it's a combination too, Anna, of seeing relatives you haven't seen in a while, which is a good feeling, but also what Haley brought up is that there's so much power and powerful things happening too at the same time. So it's really, I can't say enough about the about what happens during this march and this get together.
Yeah, it is really beautiful to be in community and just coming together, leaving aside whatever, you know, nonsense we have going on in the rest of our world, and just being there for one another. There's so much power, and to see folks coming together and knowing that folks are in constant prayers or moving and being in the space, I'm excited. I'm going to be here bright and early at 8 a.m. smudging the building off so we can be here with good space and energy. And get ready.
That's really important. And Haley, you'll be getting there earlier than me to get your hoodie.
So you
can be twinning.
Got to be there. Got to be the first. Any help that you guys need, just let me know. And excited to be there. I remember the speeches last year were so powerful. I want to shout out Rachel Dion Thunder, who is always such a very incredibly motivating speaker. Mm-hmm. And hearing from the relatives' families, too, who come and speak their truth, and just encouraging them and trying to lift them up in any way that we can. So thank you. And thank you, everyone who has had a hand in putting this event together.
Right on. And Anna, I got a reminder, relatives out there that are listening, is that the women always lead the way in the parade. And I know, and that is something that, you know, as an elder and as a male, I'll remind people too, that the women are leading this. And it's very important to know that. And some people forget that, and maybe not maliciously, but just we have to remind that this is a woman led activity, and in a good way. And most things in Native country are woman-led. Let's get real, right?
We get the work done. We get the work done. Not that y'all don't, but we get the work done. And so, yeah, Haley, I echo your sentiment. Rachel, we asked Rachel to round up our speaker lineup, just because she does. She, the way she speaks energizes community. And then I'm like, yeah, let's, you know, after hearing her, I'm like, yeah, let's go march. So super happy to have her back again this year. She'll be joining us in community.
I remember one year Bernie Sanders' wife was there.
Really?
That was really cool. Because, I know that too, because I was able to interview her for the show. But yeah, it was around election time, so she was there for a reason. It's also very cool that she was there, because no other political person running for president at the time was to be seen.
Showed up. Yep. Yeah, and those are the things that we remember, right? Who shows up for us in those difficult times. And so it'll be good, again, to see everybody who's come in, whether they're famous or not. So can't wait to be in community. Before I forget, it's my daughter's 25th birthday. Happy birthday, Rihanna. So I just shout out to my daughter.
Yeah, well, happy birthday, Hocheni Hamke Beske.
Hey, that isn't the famous one, though, is it?
No, Athena knows the banker, the pharmacist. She knows everybody. She hooked you up with the hoodie. She's a mover and groover. She's making her way in the world. She has a bomb detection dog that she works with and handles. And then we have our bloodhound that is still in training to do scent discriminant trailing to help locate missing relatives too. So she's one to watch.
Awesome. Wow, that's great.
Hey, we were with Anna Negrete, interim director of the Minnesota Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And we'll see everyone tomorrow at 11. I'll be there at 10:30 at my secret parking spot. Pini Gigi, thank you for being on, and we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
It's the Earl Ingram Show. Hope you're staying warm. I'm excited to have my good friend Sandy Williams here to discuss today's news.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It took more than 30 years, but a Baltimore judge vacated the murder conviction of James Langhorne, the judge citing two recanted identifications of Langhorne and other reasons.
It's the result of years of work by the Mid-Atlantic Innocence Project, Langhorne, grateful to them and his loved ones.
I worked 30 years to get to this point, so I'm going to enjoy every moment and put, you know, the anger behind me. Because if anger owns you, you know, it owns you. So I don't want it to own me.
Langhorne was convicted for a fatal shooting in 1993.
ABC's Michelle Franzen. The Associated Press reports its sources say 86-year-old Andrew Lester will plead guilty in Kansas City, Missouri on Friday for shooting and wounding then 16-year-old Ralph Yarl, who'd mistakenly knocked on Lester's door. Florida gave a lethal injection to James Dennis Ford for a double murder in 1997. This is ABC News.